Go.
It doesn't know anything. So I titled my message today, Keys to Victory. There's no question about the situations we face in life often rock our boat. It's one of those, it could be a job situation, a financial problem, a health condition, or a relationship issue, among many other complications. But as Christian men and women, we all want to live our lives in the victory that Christ gave us on the cross. The 1 Corinthians 15:57 tells us, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. While we will undoubtedly face fearful situations in life, our response in these situations is crucial. We can't avoid circumstances that rock our boat, but we can choose to combat them the right way. Today I want to share some keys to victory that will help and strengthen us. Knowing what we are up against when fighting the enemy is half the battle. We talked about this morning downstairs. The forces of evil around us are real, and we must know how to deal with them. There are strongholds that need to be torn down. There's battles to be won, and there's victories to be established in our lives. So remember the tortured man in Mark 5 that Jesus healed? There's a few things, there are two things that the spirit within him did that is worthy to make note of. The first thing is they introduced themselves as legion, for we are many. A legion was a well-trained, fully equipped division of the Roman army that took orders from Caesar himself. So most likely these demons were more taking orders directly from Satan. For in verse 3 and 4 it says, this man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the arms on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. So here you have a legion of demons and you have a man that can't be subdued by any physical force. The second thing is in verse 10, they said, they begged Jesus not to send them out of that territory. So why was that? It's because they had established a stronghold in that area of the country. And you can see the same thing in our own country today. You can see the stronghold of the enemy. So we need to realize what we're up against. Can you see a spiritual parallel here? Man did all he could naturally to subdue the man in Mark 5. But it was what was controlling the man in the spirit realm that was the problem. You can't fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons and expect to win. To deny the existence of Satan in a situation or underestimate his power gives him the advantage over us. Blaming Satan for all your problems is a cop-out. But failing to see him at work in your situation renders you powerless. In other words, saying, the devil made me do it, will not get it when you are refusing to keep your flesh under control. You have to know he will take advantage of your flesh if you don't control it and come against him. To fight and win, you must know what you are up against. You must be able to look beyond the obvious to see the actual. We talked about this morning. We need to know how the enemy works to defeat. So let me share this with you in 1 Samuel 17:4. It says, a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. Now we all know about Goliath. We know how David, killed him and so forth. But I want you to see something about Goliath that will help you when it comes to giant problems that you have to face. So the first thing is the size of your problem can intimidate you. Goliath was big. Your problem is big. You feel as if it's overwhelming. But this is when faith needs to kick in. This is when you need to recall the victories of your past that God has given you. I'm talking about the Red Sea-sized victories, or even the Jericho Wall-sized ones, where God showed up for you, and you knew it, you know. As David told King Saul in verse 34 through 36 in 1 Samuel, he says, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God." David took into account what King Saul and the Israelites did not. They did not factor God in the equation at all. David believed that the God he served was bigger than the giant he faced. Do we believe that? You know, do we believe that God is bigger than your problem? So the question this morning is, how big is God in you? The second thing to see, their words can cause you to doubt. 1 Samuel 17:11 says, "On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. When the doctor was telling me all the things and what they might have to do to me when I had that surgery that time, it was terrifying." I mean, it can put fear into you. You see words like, "The tumor is malignant, the company's downsizing, you've been laid off, I don't love you anymore, our child is hooked on drugs, the bank is foreclosing." All these things can be terrifying to a person. So how do you handle these words? I know that day when I was facing that, Linda, as soon as we got out in the hallway, first thing that came out of her mouth was the Word of God. That's what we have to turn to. The Word of God, the life-changing Word of God, which transcends all circumstances and triumphs all opinions. If you're in a situation in which there appears to be no way out, instead of wasting your time and energy dwelling on your own weaknesses and shortcomings, you need to stay on God's Word and start talking about His power. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flower fadeth, but the Word of, our God shall stand forever." Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away." Isaiah 55, 11 tells us that God's word will never return void. You won't win if you fight in your own strength. So don't try it. David said, "This is the Lord's battle, and God has never lost a battle." Faith inspired this young shepherd boy to defeat a famed war hero twice his size while the rest of the Israeli army fled in terror. So keep your eyes on who God is and on His Word and not your circumstances. Circumstances are subject to change, but God's Word will never change. Isaiah 59:19 says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, a flag of victory against him." The third thing is this: there is an opening, look for it. It was said Goliath could throw a spear half the length of a football field. So that's probably about how far David was away from him. Furthermore, Goliath had body armor protecting him from the head to toe, except for a small opening between his eyes and his forehead. That's what David aimed for. There's a lesson here. When you ask God for an answer, it may come as a small opening rather than the size of half the football field. When He shows it to you, trust Him that He'll get you through it. God's response to you is not designed to increase your comfort or sense of comfort, but to build your confidence in Him. That way, you're not only able to handle this giant, but you'll be able to handle those in the future that come. There are three things Satan can't withstand: God's Word, Christ's blood, and the name of Jesus. When you use those things, you'll bring the devil down just like David toppled Goliath. Here's another thing that needs to be mentioned. Don't allow the conflict-free seasons of your life to lull you into a false sense of security. 1 Peter 5:8 Amplified tells us, be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, furiously hungry, seeking someone to devour. What should you do when the devil comes along? Ephesians 6 tells us, and having done all, stand. You need to stand. Stand against the enemy of the army that God has given you to stand. When we know this word, we know that Romans 14:4 tells us that the Lord is able to make us stand. Not in your own strength, but in the strength of Jesus. By yourself, you're an easy target. But in the strength of the Lord, you can stand and not give in. So Satan needs to know where you stand. You need to tell him that I am covered by the blood of Jesus and you can't cross the bloodline. You need to tell him that you're redeemed from the curse of the law. You need to tell him that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. You need to tell him I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You need to tell him I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. You need to tell him that by grace I'm saved and that is not of myself. You need to tell him greater is he that is in me than the devil that is in the world. You need to tell him he's a liar and a father of it, and I don't need to listen to his lies. And you need to tell him you're going over and not under, and that you're the head and not the tail, all because of what Christ did for you. We need to remind him who we are. We need to remind him that, let him know that you're going to stand until the shaking stops, until the waves of loneliness passes, until you are healed, until you come out of debt, until the struggle is over, until a tester loses his power to trick, trap, or topple you. When we do the standing, God does the strengthening. Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Note the word strengthen. He won't just strengthen you once. He'll do it again and again and again. He'll strengthen you every time you face a difficult challenge. Every time a memory comes back to torment you. Every time you're reminded of your imperfect past. Every time you face a difficult situation. Drawing from God the strength you need to stand up to the enemy will take effort. It will take your praise, your prayer, your getting into the Word with an intensity you never had before. I found this morning. I want to read this to you. It said, Satan knows if he keeps you from prayer, you will be powerless. He is the master of distraction. Think how often he has robbed you of your quiet time with God by using things like TV, the telephone, the internet, a messy house, your to-do list, your wandering mind, your heavy eyelids. Your quiet time with God isn't something you try to fit into your schedule. It must be something you prioritize or it won't happen. How many times has he done that to you? Well, you'll find anything to keep you from being in prayer. If you only pray when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. It's just plain as day. Prayer puts a shield of divine protection around us. We can't live without it. You see, the most effective weapon the enemy has against you is you. Think about that. You have to fight the devil and your old self every day. You need to pray and read the Word. Your old sin nature must be taken to the cross and crucified daily. So you see, the truth is, you can stand if you want to. Today, Jesus is saying to us, my victory is your victory. My authority is your authority. Use it. Jesus has already defeated the devil, and the Bible tells us in Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. could say we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Let's personalize it. The blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you a little story that I read about how powerful the blood of Jesus is. Irene Park became a committed Christian. She was once a high witch in the state of Florida, seducing boys and girls into occult activities. She stated that the children she could never reach were those whose parents protected them by praying over them in the name of Jesus, standing on the merits of Christ's atoning blood. That's pretty powerful. So praise God. This is what we need to do over our children and grandchildren. On our loved ones, every day. Let Satan know he will never have him because of the blood. God has given us the key to overcome Satan's power in our lives. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Start declaring what God or what the blood of Jesus has done on your behalf. Here's something else that will bring about victory. Stick with it. 2 Samuel 23:10 says, Eleazar, one of David's three mighty men, was the kind of person who wouldn't quit when the Philistines attacked. In verse 10 it says, when the men of Israel retreated, he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. Imagine that. His hand froze to the sword. What a picture. His hand stuck to the sword. Stick with it, and God will give you the victory. When you give in to discouragement and quit, what can God do for you? I mean, you cut him off. You know. Stick with it. God is so good. If we will only obey him, the Bible tells us that God has promised that he would cause our enemies to rise up against us to be defeated before our faces. Deuteronomy 28:7 says, the Lord will cause the enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. Deuteronomy 20:4, for the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. There's example after examples in the Bible where God intercedes to bring about victory for his people. But there was also times when people got in the way and they kept God's blessings from coming. If we look at the 10 spies when they came back from going in the promised land. Those 10 kept the whole nation from going in to the promised land. Or look at Achan in Joshua 7. Achan sinned against God by taking silver and gold. In chapter 6, verse 17-18, the Lord had told the people of Israel, Jerusalem or Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourself will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. In chapter 7, Israel was defeated by Ai, all because Achan had taken what God said not to. Disobedience brought defeat. It also cost him his life too. So you see, if we will do as our God tells us, if we will obey, we too can rise up against the enemy and see him defeated before our eyes. The devil will come at you in most cunning ways. He is always looking for ways to keep you on your own so he can devour you. When the devil knocks, you don't always hear it. He always tries to rather sneak in a back door or an open door somewhere. He's a deceiver who targets your mind with lies, trying to cover up God's love and truth. Other times he blows situations way out of proportion as the accuser targets our hearts with accusations. He will try to get you to do it on your own without God's help. But today I want to show you a few tactics that we can use against the devil. The first one, diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 in the Amplified says, "Now it shall be, if you diligently listen to and obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commands, which I am commanding you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you pay attention to the voice of the Lord your God." The Hebrew word for diligently listen is shema, which means to hear intelligently, to be obedient, obey, to give ear to. This is what the Lord is wanting us to do. You see, God has given us the written word to turn to. It is God talking to you and me. And when we read it, we need God's wisdom, and it's found in his word. I read this, that 30% of the people, Christians, read their Bible every day. Think about that. 70% of Christians look to answers in the wrong place. No wonder that the devil wins so many battles. Only less than 30% turn to the Word. Where are the other 70 turning? Without a regular daily intake of God's Word, we'll be in the dark as to what's best for us and the direction our lives should go. Make His Word your first priority, first option rather than your last resort. There are precepts in the Scripture, but mainly God has given us principles to follow. You know, these principles require wisdom and discernment. In Psalms 119:66, it says, "I believe in your commands. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge." This doesn't mean you have to have a particular verse for every decision to move you or move that you make. That's not how it works. But most of the time, when you ask the Lord for guidance or anything, on anything, He will give you good judgment and knowledge. By obeying the Word and the things you have learned from past experiences, He will give you enough to get you moving in the right direction. Knowing that God is faithful and will never leave you nor forsake you will give you confidence in Him and His Word. Having confidence in God and His Word will guide you into victory over the enemy. God has told us in His Word how to defeat the enemy. In James 4:7, He tells us, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 tells us, "Be aware or be alert and sober-minded and resist him, standing firm in the faith." As we read in Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." He gives us the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the cunning devices of the devil. So be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." You can look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5, bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. Obedience to Christ doesn't eliminate the storms of the enemy, but it does determine whether we stand or fall during the storm. Number two, repent before you engage in battle. Psalm 66:18, the Amplified, tells us, "If I regard sin and abasement in my heart, that is, if I know it is there and do nothing about it, the Lord will not hear me." If you are going battle with the enemy, the last thing you want is to know that God's not listening to you or hearing you. Mark 11:25, "But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." I mean, we talked about this last Sunday downstairs. Clear your heart. It's not worth having unforgiveness or holding grudges. Fact is, if you have a hard time trying to fight the enemy that is coming against you if you don't. You can't stay focused or staying strong in the Lord. The enemy has you where he wants you. It's hard to win a battle when you're standing isolated or standing on your own. Don't let sin have a hold in your life. Sin separates. Here's the thing about sin. I read this, you probably have all heard it, but it takes you where you don't want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it costs you more than 59, 2 tells us that your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So we need to do as Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, 11 through 12. That thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal things, eternal life. Number three, know that God is on your side. The enemy will always try to get you to doubt and limit your possibilities. But God is limitless. There is no limit to what he can do to give you the victory. Trust his ability. Romans 8:32 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Isaiah 35:4, say to those who have a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. That's encouraging. Number four, war from a position of victory. Are you fighting a battle you're afraid you won't win? Let me ask you, who are you depending on, yourself or God? When faced with the combined armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, God told his people Israel, the battle is not yours, but God. And God has never lost a battle. He told Joshua, he says, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Notice he didn't say, I will deliver, or he didn't say, I might deliver. Well, he said, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. Israel already had the victory. Now they were called upon to act on it. God's given us the victories already. We just need to act on it. But the question remains, how? God's answer was shout. Joshua told the Israelites, when you hear the trumpets, give a loud shout, and the wall of the city will collapse and you will go straight in. Now, no rational person would expect a shout to go and bring down thick walls, you know, no matter how loud it was. But this was no ordinary shout. It was a shout of faith based on a promise that God had made. Even though victory looks impossible, when Israel shouted, God responded by bringing down the walls and opening the doors to the promised land. That night when we marched around this church seven times and we gave a shout, you know, we may not have brought down physical walls, but we brought down the spiritual strongholds of the enemy, which had held these doors closed and opened them so we could buy this place. When you're looking for an open door and all you see is a thick brick wall, the last thing you feel like doing is shouting victory, right? But we need to do it regardless, because the shout of praise leads to victory. It puts your faith on record. It confounds the enemy and robs him of his two greatest weapons, doubt and discouragement. Obedience, even when you don't understand, always brings result. So shout, for the victory is yours. Hallelujah. Number five, praise your way through. 2 Chronicles 20:21. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe the prophets, so ye shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Psalms 59:16-17. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. And to thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy. You can also think about Acts of Paul and Silas in Acts 16 when they was in the prison, 12 o'clock at night, praising God. Think what happened from that. Number six, take up your armor. And we talked about this earlier, but you have to put on your armor every day. It's a spiritual weapon God's given us. Now verse 11 in Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Romans 13:12-14. The night is far spent, but the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And number 7, pray always and be watchful. Psalms 112:1-7 says, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commands. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. The man who makes a habit of delighting in God's word and praying will have a heart that is fixed. He can make it through hard times without losing his balance. His mind is made up. He's victorious before he even gets started. A person like that is hard to whip. The sad thing is that most believers wait until the disaster hits before they start trying to establish themselves in the Word. They wait until their back is up against the wall. Then suddenly they get real spiritual and start fasting and praying, and often find themselves they started too late. Sort of like the guy when a burglar gets into his house, he starts looking for the barbells, trying to build up his muscles so he can throw them out. It's not going to work. He's in for a painful defeat. So be ready before the devil breaks into your house. Get your heart fixed. As I read from the thing I read earlier, turn off the TV, turn off the distractions of the world, and turn on the Word. The time to start establishing yourself on it is right now. Don't wait until the enemy comes in. During the last hours of Jesus' life, he warned the disciples to watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. In Mark 13:33, Jesus again tells us to watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. In Mark 13:37, Jesus tells us, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And in Luke 21:36, Jesus says, watch, ye therefore, and pray always. I love this saying, the devil saw me with my head down and got excited, and then I said amen. That is something you can think about. Changed his whole attitude real quick. Let me encourage you with this as we close. God came up with the answer long before the devil came up with the problem. If God could open or could close the mouth of the lions for Daniel, part the Red Sea for Moses, make the sun stand still for Joshua, open the prison for Peter, put a baby in the arms of Sarah, and raise Lazarus from the dead, then he can certainly take care of you. Lazarus, or nothing you are facing today is too hard for him to handle. In Jeremiah 32:27, it says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God's word is full of keys to victory. No demon in hell is stronger than a will aligned with the word of God. God's grace floods the soul that seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, Father, thank you for giving us everything we need to walk in the victory that you provided for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to realize that all that you have done for us. But it is up to us to act upon your word and do what you have told us to do. Victory is ours if we obey you and do what you tell us to do to receive it. Help us stand on your word and apply it in every situation that we come up against. For the victory is ours, in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anybody who needs prayer, then feel free to